Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Tyler. Welcome, Greg.
Good to be here, as always.
So, Greg, obviously, you know, we've gotten a lot of feedback since WonderCon, and since we did our two-part episode of WonderCon, you know, with Let's Voltron at WonderCon. What do you think? Have you gotten some good feedback from people that you know have listened to the podcast?
I've heard some good things. It sounds like they enjoyed it as much as I did. As the listeners of the podcast will probably remember, I wasn't able to attend WonderCon, so I was sort of the proxy for the many fans who also weren't able to get out there. So I think a lot of folks had the same good time that I did, learning all about the new show.
I know from some of the talk that we heard out on Twitter that both Danny and Shannon got a very good review. A lot of people were asking when the shows finally do come out and we start talking about them, they were kind of asking for Shannon and Danny to come back on the podcast.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be sort of like a viewing after party.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Also, we did get a few comments from people out on Twitter, and I just wanted to share those with everybody. Toon Master Tim said, "I'm just so excited for the new series. Your WonderCon coverage was excellent."
That's cool. I thought so too.
And Kitty Lynn said, "Thank you for an extremely interesting podcast and fun discussion. You connect with your listeners. Felt like I was at the con."
Yeah, that's cool.
That means we succeeded in our goal, because that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to bring the con to the people that couldn't be there.
Well, you in particular did a great job with that, Mark. Getting out there and recording many different people, and getting involved with our friends at WEP and the other folks out there, other fans and people working with DreamWorks. So you deserve the lion's share of the credit for that. It was fun to be involved, I'm looking forward to this new show too. So.
Well, you had mentioned our friends from WEP. It just so happens we happen to have a friend of ours from WEP here today. So without further ado, I will introduce to the podcast the president of World Events Productions, Bob Koppler.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too, Bob.
Yeah, it's great to finally chat with you, and you know, not face to face, but voice to voice. I've heard many folks talking with you over the years through the podcast, and it's great to actually be able to speak with you.
Well, it's nice talking with you as well. It's like we're in the same room, and it's fun talking with you. I've been listening to your podcasts and really enjoying them, and hearing your guys and fans' take on some of the recent developments of the property and some of the exciting new things we have coming up, and appreciate you guys sticking with us. You know, you've been at this for a while, and you know, for a while it was kind of quiet on the Voltron front, and now we've got all this great stuff coming on, and you guys have been with us through thick and thin, and Mark, all the great work you've done putting together this podcast is it's just been great for the property, and it's taught me so much just listening to all the great interviews you've lined up. And you know, I've learned much from it myself about Voltron and the history, and it's really priceless. So nice going.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We do know that there's a lot of things going on besides just the show. Okay. We've already seen, you know, obviously there's been the announcement that Playmates Toys is going to be covering the toys, and that's coming in spring of next year.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of that?
I think that's awesome. And you know, there are a few fans out there who were wondering, you know, exactly how does it come to be that the toys come out in the spring of the following year after the show gets released. So I was wondering, I kind of know that that's how it sort of happens, but I was wondering if maybe you could tell the fans from your perspective, how does it happen that we have to wait until spring of 2017?
I don't know, man. Pisses me off. I wish they were out now. No, it's just it tends to be how this goes, particularly with a television property. They like to have it out in the market for a while to have kids discover it. And, you know, the longer the show's been out there, the more the awareness kind of takes hold. And it'll take some kids some time to find it. Particularly, it's on Netflix, so... You know, it's not like a big broadcast era where everybody will watch it at the same time. People will watch it when they get to it. It might take kids some time to find it. And when those toys hit the shelves, we want it to mean something. And, right. You know, all that time that demand will build up and the anticipation will come. And, you know, I wish like you guys that we'd have them in time for Christmas. But, you know, maybe you can get some kind of a pre-order by Christmas or something. I don't know. But, when they come out, they're going to be great. I mean, Playmates was an exciting announcement, and I think they're going to do a great job. And from all I've seen and heard, I know it's going to be a hell of a toy line. So
yeah, we've already talked about it on the podcast about how they've been covering the TMNT line very well for many years.
Yeah, they have. You know, it's somewhat of an analogous property to Voltron in that it's been around for a while and it's been reinvented a number of times. And it's been a constant presence on shelves. I wish Voltron was more of a constant presence like Turtles. And, you know, from here on, hopefully it will be.
Let's hope so.
And it's a great complementary product for Playmates. You know, they don't have anything like Voltron, but they do have Turtles, which is analogous in terms of age range and, you know, the type of property it is. So I think it's going to be a great partnership.
In addition to the Ninja Turtles, of course, back in the 90s and early 2000s, Playmates made a ton of merchandise for Star Trek. I was a huge collector of the Playmates toy Star Trek action figures and vehicles and all that good stuff. And they've done some really great stuff over the years. And I've seen some of the transforming Enterprise starship for Star Trek. They did some shape-shifting Ninja Turtle related toys, and I think they're going to do a great job with the Voltron mecha.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're very, very inventive, and they're going to have some really cool stuff.
And since in recent times, we've been having Toynami, has come out with some really great stuff, but it's always, you know, usually at a higher price point, where these Playmates toys will definitely be at a lower price point.
Yeah, you know, Toynami they do awesome stuff. I love them. But you're right, it's more geared for a collector. It's for guys our age. But when we look to the new show and getting these toys in front of kids, it's mass market stuff, and you have to be at a certain price point in order to sell at mass market. And the toys are going to be exceptional, but they will be at that lower price point to be accessible for, you know, a mom to be walking down the aisle and saying, hey, that's that show my kid watches, I'm going to give him the Black Lion, you know.
Yeah, I remember when Voltron Force came out, I had vivid memories of when I was a kid and going into a Kmart store back in the 80s, and both sides of one long aisle, were filled with nothing but Voltron merchandise. And I was looking forward to seeing that again with Voltron Force, and although that didn't come to pass, what an exciting time this is going to be with the new show and its merchandise.
Those were the days. Well, they'll come again. We're optimistic that you'll see that. So,
and I won't have to wait for my weekly allowance to buy something. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things that's coming in addition to the animated show is a story that just came out today. There is a new comic book miniseries that has the same name as the show, Voltron Legendary Defender, and it's debuting in July from Lion Forge Comics. And they're out of St. Louis, aren't they, Bob?
St. Louis Company, and yeah, we're thrilled to be working with another partner in our hometown here. And those guys are great. They're incredibly talented. We've worked with them on Saber Rider, another property of ours. they've come up with incredible stories. The artwork is phenomenal, and they're great guys, and they've been interested in doing something with Voltron for a long, long time, and we've had to kind of put that on hold for a while, and I'm just so excited that we can finally get them going. What's nice is they're going to be working very closely with the team working on the show, so it's consistent from a creative standpoint, and you know, the storylines will be consistent, the characters will be consistent. We all want to be, you know, playing in the same universe here, and the comics will, and it'll give fans a chance to explore new storylines that emanate from the show. Who, you know, people will sit down and binge on 13 episodes of content at once, and then we'll have to wait a while, and you know, this will give them something to chew on.
Right.
So more content, the better.
Yeah, and Lion Forge has got a history of doing retro. I say retro because of Voltron's age, of course, as a property. But obviously, aside from Saber Rider, I think they did a mini series based on Knight Rider recently too. So they've definitely you know, dipped their toe in the waters of various TV related properties. So this is really good news.
Yeah.
Speaking of Saber Rider, the Saber Rider comics are out now, and the second comic was just released last week on Voltron.com.
It was. Pick it up. You go to Voltron.com. You go to our online store. We're selling their comic there. It's also available in comic book shops, so check it out. The latest issue of Saber Rider. It's a really great series, so hope you kind of check out the story, and it'll hook you. I think you'll want to stay through to the end if you could go check that out. So
the story about the Voltron comic came out on Comic Book Resources. It broke on CBR.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to verify a couple things with you, which is really cool that we have this here. It's co-written by the show's head writer, Tim Hedrick, and Mitch Iverson, who's also a writer on the series. And they're saying it's illustrated by Digital Art Chefs?
That's what I'm hearing.
Is that correct?
Yeah, as far as I know, look, you know, that's the information I have. I did not put that together, but that's what I understand. And obviously, they're terrific. I mean, they're going to do a great job with the art. So,
well, Digital Art Chefs also worked on the Robotech Voltron crossover comic, right?
That's
right.
Oh, I
thought I'd heard that name before. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So if you've seen the artwork for Voltron Robotech, and folks listening, if you haven't, it's beautiful. I mean, they do a really great job with mecha. They also do, you know, a good job with humans, and it's the color really pops. They do a heck of a job, and it's really cool to have them on board.
Yeah, they had me with the color. I mean, the line art was good, the inks were good and whatnot, but the color really drew me in.
Yeah.
And CBR also had an exclusive look at two of the covers. So we'll also be punching those up on the podcast website. But they're two covers from Voltron Legendary Defender number one. The main cover is by Christine Byan of DreamWorks Animation, who worked as a design supervisor on the series. And then there's a 1-in-5 incentive cover by comic star Kari Rudolph. An early black and white version is seen here, and it'll be a final in color. The idea here is that the miniseries is aiming to expand the storyline of the show. And the official description of the arc is, it's the story of a training mission that goes awry when Karan, Princess Alora's majordomo, falls prey to a villain looking to settle an old debt. Team Voltron embarks on a series of increasingly dangerous quests to save their friend's life. Each issue focuses on one of the five pilots who together command the giant mecha known as Voltron, formed from their individual flying robotic lions. So that's how it's described in the story.
Sounds cool, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the focus of one issue per pilot. That ought to be really neat to sort of get inside the heads of each of these characters at such an early stage in the show's development. So that ought to be really cool.
Okay, Bob, speaking of what we heard here, they refer to them as Team Voltron. Is that how they're going to be referring to them in the show?
I think that's how they refer to them. And they go by you know, I think you mentioned, you heard the word paladins mentioned a lot,
right?
During the panel, and that's kind of a cool word they came up with for the pilots to, you know, it's this really regal, almost sentry kind of word, and that, so that's, they're referred to that as a lot. Team Voltron, yeah, I mean that's used, but. You know, as I think you noticed, they're not using Voltron Force.
Right. Yes, we did.
So, you know, Team Voltron, sure, that works. I think that's they've used that a few times.
So the Paladins, to me, the most I've ever seen the word Paladin was in World of Warcraft, and it always seemed to be like a heroic knight.
Yeah. It's just kind of a cool, distinctive word to describe the Voltron pilots. You know, it holds a little bit more weight than Space Explorer, which we used a lot in the original series.
Yeah, I think my favorite line in the original series is when Keith says, "We're space explorers and we need space." It just they were stuck in a jail cell or something, and I just thought it was hilarious. But yeah, no, Paladin is awesome. Sounds great. Really kind of helps set the tone that this is definitely going to be very different than the other Sentai elephant in the room, Power Rangers. So I'm really excited to see what the new show and the new comic have in store.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it.
There's another thing that happened this past week that I want to talk about. Stephen Colbert's late night show had a segment called Friday Night Fights. And he's had this for many other things in the past. His guest for this one was Thomas Lennon from The Odd Couple. And Thomas Lennon was fighting on the side of Gandalf and Optimus Prime combining together.
Yeah. Yeah. This bit was amazing. I'm a big Colbert fan, so I watch the show all the time anyways.
Oh, yeah?
I happened to be watching that night, and I had no idea this was coming. And I turned the frickin' show off.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't find out until the next day. I'm getting all these emails and texts like, oh, my God, Voltron was on Colbert. I was like, no, he wasn't. and so I watched it on YouTube, and I just jumped out of my chair. I was like, oh, my gosh, the Voltron and Dumbledore. Like, first of all, I don't understand how on earth you can expect Optimus Prime and Gandalf to beat Voltron and Dumbledore. I don't know if Dumbledore held his weight in that battle, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Did you find out what the final results were?
I think we lost by, I think we got like 32% of the voters.
Yes, yeah. That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Well,
so you know, that was a shame because there were like 42,000 votes, and it seemed like a lot more people were into Lord of the Rings and Transformers than they were into Harry Potter and Voltron. I don't understand how that could be.
I don't either, Mark. It's a puzzler.
And we didn't have enough time to rally the troops and, you know, get everybody on that one.
I didn't know anything about it until after the fact.
But
that's for sure.
Our friends at Netflix jumped in with a tweet, which was appreciated. They said,
"Yeah, that was.
Jumping is not flying or something." It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So
and even Stephen Colbert had said, you know, Voltron is just way bigger than Optimus Prime is. I mean, it's like 180 feet versus 80, you know.
You got to love that guy. He's such a geek at heart, and he like he knows these properties. Like he knows it.
Yeah.
He knows this. I mean, this isn't just a bit. Like he lives and breathes this stuff, and it was so cool hearing him talk about Voltron, and he was relatively accurate. He's like Voltron, you know, is Optimus Prime is the size of Voltron's leg.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was hilarious. So, and you know, he's got a 70-foot sword. So
yeah, you can't mess with that.
Yeah, I don't know if I could have given Voltron a better argument than Steven. I think he did a pretty good job, but we did not prevail in the end. But you know, who knows? Maybe we'll have a rematch coming up.
Okay. We also wanted to mention that, you know, there was another little movie that Voltron was in, and it was called Deadpool.
Yeah,
little movie.
Movie.
A little indie.
Just a little movie.
Indie art house film, right?
Yes, yes.
Did you get approached by the people at Deadpool about that? Because I heard that both Ryan Reynolds and the director of the movie are big Voltron fans.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, we get approached from time to time about doing like a clearance for a film or a TV show. And so we sign a lot of those releases, and a lot of times it just doesn't pan out. Like they tend to be over protective, and sometimes they, you know, get releases signed that never even come to fruition. And so we didn't think much of it. We're like, oh, that's cool. It's a comic book movie with Ryan Reynolds. That would be great if this actually happened. And then things kind of evolved, and then they send us like a script and say, here's where it's going to appear. And we saw it was like a recurring thing, and it was actually talked about. It wasn't just a set piece in the background, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. So we started to get really excited about it. The story I heard was that it was going to be another property that I won't mention. And Ryan Reynolds happened to be a Voltron fan, and I guess so was the director, and they changed it like at the last minute to Voltron. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it was really cool to see that in that Voltron ring in the film, available at Voltron.com.
yeah, they are back in stock.
And I don't know if you noticed there was a little Voltron like pillow like. Plush kind of toy from Flophouse that was in the background as well. Yeah, so
the pancake pillow.
I actually had that thing, and I tell you, that was my favorite Christmas gift a couple Christmases back.
Nice.
I've taken so many silly photos of that thing in my 4-year-old daughter's baby stroller and all sorts of crazy things. So yeah, that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fun little, you know, thing that you can throw around and, you know.
Yep, and it's really heavy too for its size. You could take out your Robe East or
serious pillow. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a pillow fighting pillow. It's meant for pillow fighting. You can actually hurt somebody with it.
So, have you heard whether or not they're going to have a Deadpool 2, and whether Voltron will be back being mentioned in that,
no,
that one as well?
No, I haven't heard anything about that. But I imagine they would, as successful as that film was. With how, you know, Hollywood tends to go with sequels, I'd be very surprised if there weren't one. And of course, we'd be happy for Voltron to be a part of it again.
Sure.
What else would you be happy to have Voltron be a part of, Bob?
Are you getting at a feature film? Is that what you're trying to?
I'm just thinking maybe Legos.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I wonder where you were going with that too, Mark.
I don't have any movies announcement. That Lego project is freaking phenomenal. I don't know if you've obviously seen it, but for the listeners, we've had Lego does this thing where they let users submit projects, and if the projects get enough votes, then Lego will actually go and make these things and sell them. And we've actually had a couple of people submit an idea for Voltron Lego in the past, and they've all been really cool, but none of them have gotten, you know, enough votes to actually proceed with producing the thing. But this one is like, you know, uber cool. It's the best one I've seen so far, and it's actually got a pretty good shot at getting made. And
a good shot. This is skyrocketing up there. It's only been out for 2 weeks.
It was created by a user who goes by the handle of Len_D69, and the campaign began April 11th. So 15 days ago. And of the 10,000 votes needed, as of this moment, they're at 7,441 supporters. So that's huge. I think you typically get about a year to garner. To garner these votes, and they extended a couple times if you reach certain milestones. And they reached both of those milestones, the 1,000 vote milestone and the 5,000 vote milestone, very quickly. And so they've got 714 days left on this extended campaign, and it looks like we've got a really awesome shot at getting an awesome building set.
It's really cool. And those are true votes, too, because a lot of times you have these contests and people just vote, you know, 100 times a person. But you have to actually set up an account with Lego. And so they, you know, those are true individual distinct votes. So it's really gotten a lot of interest. So
it's not only getting interest. I mean, there's over 250 comments on this thing, and there's news stories that are actually being made. Even CNET has gotten into this.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
So there's big stories out there about people that would love to have a Voltron set, you know, for Lego. And do you know what he gets if he actually gets this made?
I think he gets Blue Lion. We actually give it to him.
I can tell you what he gets.
Mark, I know. I heard he gets like a portion of the proceeds of some kind, but
He gets, if this is officially made as a product, he gets 1% of the total net sales of the product, which includes projects featuring original models based on third-party intellectual property, such as game, TV show, or movie.
There you go.
That's slick.
That's
hefty. What a great entry point.
Plus, he also gets 5 complimentary copies of the LEGO Ideas set and a credit and bio in the set materials as the LEGO Ideas set creator.
Very cool.
Well, so, he's on to something.
So for fans who don't yet know about this, I imagine there have got to be, you know, a couple. if you want to vote for this project, it's just called Voltron Defender of the Universe, and you can get to it at ideas.lego.com/projects/138271, or, of course, just Google it. It's all over the place.
Or you can just go LEGO Ideas.
Yeah, and search for Voltron.
And it's pretty much up there in the first ones because it's that popular right now. They put their featured ones out there. So it's one of the first ones you'll see. So I just wanted to highlight a few of these comments that are coming from some of the fans out there. So Autobots24 just said, shut up and take my money. And that's a recurring theme out there.
Yeah, love those fans.
And then there's a Snow Whitey, who isn't even a Voltron fan. She said, I'd never heard of Voltron, but when I came across this idea, I was really impressed with the look and design. I definitely get one. Well done for getting so many supporters so quickly. So even people who aren't Voltron fans would jump at this.
Well, love that we're introducing people to Voltron through Legos. We'll take new fans any way we can get them.
Now, had you ever had discussions with the LEGO people about licensing Voltron?
You know, a long time ago, there were some initial discussions. It didn't come to fruition at the time. This was actually before Voltron Force. So the answer is no. I mean, we never licensed LEGO. But it's one of those like wish list things that we've been wanting to do for some time. It's like, why isn't there a LEGO Voltron? It just makes all the sense in the world. So we'll get one.
Okay. Well, maybe this will be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. And you know, we know that LEGO is, you know, with all due respect to Mega Bloks, LEGO is, you know, the champion of the building sets. And with a LEGO Voltron, we know that it would trounce all over all of those Mega Bloks Power Rangers toys. So let's make it happen.
Well, there was one comment that I just had to say because it's by a guy named Let's Voltron.
Nice name.
Yeah.
Is that you, Greg?
No.
Actually, it's me, but I I just couldn't help but say this, but I posted this comment on it, and I hope people like it. But my comment is, I have a dream that kids of all ages will open up a gift, whether it be a birthday, Christmas, Festivus, anniversary, whatever, and see a new Lego set with 5 brilliant colors of black, green, red, blue, and yellow. That set will be built to make 5 robot lions that, when combined, will form the giant robot Voltron, Defender of the Universe. These kids of all ages will love their LEGO Voltron set so much that they will beg LEGO to make Voltron-branded sets of the Castle of Lions, Robeasts, Hagar, Zarkon, Lotor, Castle Doom, or Galra, and many more. Voltron Legendary Defender LEGO sets will follow in the style of the DreamWorks Netflix show. LEGO Voltron video games and movies will follow, like Batman, Justice League, and Scooby-Doo. This is my dream for all Voltron fans.
What a dream. What a dream.
Beautiful. Mark, that's beautiful. Was that you or was that Charles Dickens?
No, that was me.
It was the best of times. It was the Voltron of times. Anyway. Nice.
Very poetic.
So this is what I'm talking about. I mean, we've got, you know, all these things going on just beside the show. You know, we've got the new Voltron comic book from Lion Forge. We've got Stephen Colbert doing Friday Night Fights with Voltron. You've got a Deadpool movie with Voltron. you've got a Lego campaign that's getting tons of coverage and it's almost complete with 10,000 supporters. So what do you think about all this stuff that's going on with Voltron right now, Bob?
It's awesome. I mean, it's great. It's truly great. Like I mentioned, we had a kind of a slow period for a while after Voltron Force, and I wasn't sure, what was up next. I knew we would do something, but and then we went into development with this new show, and I mean, several years ago, and then we had the release date set for 2016, and it just seemed like eternity. And you're like 2013, you're like, holy cow, 2016, like I'm like, that day is never going to come. And then it's, it's finally coming around, and there's all this exciting stuff going on, and it's great. It's just, it's fun to kind of watch it unfold. And I think it's only going to grow once this show comes out and people discover it.
You know, what you've mentioned there, Bob, kind of goes into the question that I was hoping to ask you. And it was, there was that lull between Voltron Force and Voltron Legendary Defender. And I'm curious as to how all that unfolded. I mean, we know that Voltron Force, didn't last beyond a first season. But when that last episode aired in late April, the viewers didn't know that the show was over. So I'm, so to speak, literally over. So at what point did WEP have an understanding that first season was going to be its only season? And then during, when did the lull end? When did someone at DreamWorks knock on your door or vice versa and say, hey, we've got a new idea coming?
I mean, I don't know exactly what, the date that we knew that second season wasn't going to happen.
Sure.
Because we spent a lot of time trying to make it happen. We actually did get a second season order, believe it or not, from Nicktoons, and we all wanted to make it happen. What was difficult for us is the way we had our deal structured. It's with Nicktoons, it's not like you just do your broadcast deal and then everything's paid for. You have to do a whole bunch of other deals, and so we had not set ourselves up from a contractual standpoint to where second season would have been feasible, and just where we were with a lot of our partners at the time.
Okay.
It just, we couldn't get things to line up properly. And believe me, Jeremy, my buddy and my partner at the time, were running around doing everything possible to make it a reality. We kind of lived and breathed that show for a number of years. The goal was never just 26 episodes. I mean,
sure,
we definitely wanted to get to 52. And it's kind of unfortunate because with these shows, it always, with a new show, starts out a little rough, and it just gets better and better with each episode. And we were really kind of hitting our stride and had getting a good rapport with the studio. And, so I think second season, if it would have come to fruition, would have been, all that much better than the first season. But, I will say, though, that this Legendary Defender is absolutely phenomenal. And I think what I just said about a new show kind of taking, some time to get its legs doesn't hold to this new show, because it grips you right from the beginning. And I think part of the reason why is we are working with true professionals who are working among a team that was kind of already in place, that they're used to working with. They've worked with this studio in the past, and they really hit the ground running. It's a completely different look than Voltron Force, as you've seen.
Right.
And it's probably made sense to have a little bit of a lull. It would have made a heck of a lot of sense to have Voltron Force and then literally, like a month later come out with a brand new looking.
Oh, sure.
So, it's probably good to have a little bit of a space between the two. Hopefully we did introduce the world of Voltron, the concept of Voltron, to a number of kids through Voltron Force. And I hope that the fans of Voltron Force can now watch Legendary Defender and recognize the show. And I think they will. I think it's almost like a prequel to Voltron Force. So,
yeah.
it brings the show back to its roots in a lot of ways, as you guys kind of saw the characters, and they're very anime influenced, and they adhere a lot closer to the original show than, you know, the direction we went in with Voltron Force. So I think fans will be delighted with that.
Yeah, I'm really eager to watch it.
Were there certain things about Voltron that you had discussions with the people from DreamWorks and said, okay, if it's going to be Voltron, it has to be this, this, and this?
I think it was more of a collaborative kind of discussion about that. We had many conversations where we sat down and they'd asked, because they were very deliberate on drilling down on what makes Voltron Voltron, what is the DNA of this franchise. You know, making an existing property into a show or rebooting a property is almost harder than making a brand new show. I mean, first you have to figure out what makes Voltron Voltron. The folks at DreamWorks were very, very serious about this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to the point where, you know, it's not only that they watched every episode of Voltron and watched every episode of Go Lion, knew all the mythology. They wanted to know why things were the way they were. I mean, to the point where they'd sit down and they'd ask me all these questions, and I'm like, oh, this will be a breeze. I can talk about Voltron until I'm blue in the face. But then they would stump me. Like, they'd be like, what is the significance of the five colors? You know, what, and why five lions? Why, you know, why not four or three or six? And I didn't have answers to this, but they wanted to know. I mean, they wanted to know what was going on in Japanese culture that influenced Voltron. I mean, this is how deep they go.
Wow.
They do a ton of research and you know, focus group research, market research. What resonates about Voltron? What is it about the character and the brand and the vehicles that kids identify with, that adults identify with? What's the DNA of the franchise? And it's a painstaking process that it takes time and it takes money and it's intensive, but they go through it. And I don't know of any other company in the planet that would have gone through this process, and they did it because they love the franchise that much.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there had so much respect for the property that they really wanted to understand it. So for me to like sit there and dictate to them, listen, if you're going to do Voltron, you need this. I mean, I think I started off that way, and at the end I started to learn from them.
Oh, sure. Wow.
So, you know, in talking about the show, it's like, you know, we put parameters and, you know, have certain approvals, but we haven't had to use any. I mean, it's like those guys are so brilliant and they've got such a compelling vision for the show, you know, for us to tinker with it. You know, I'm a big believer in you find the right people and you let them cut them loose. If you have suggestions or you see an issue here, you bring it up and talk about it. But you know, for the most part, they know what they're doing and they respect the franchise. They just have this vision for it that really hits all the right buttons. And you know, there's just a lot of creative decisions they made that I saw and I was like, of course, like, oh, of course, like that's it, that's what, you know, that's what I would have told you to do had I thought of it. So you know, I think it's going in a great direction. I think Joaquin Dos Santos had, I think he said something at the panel like, you know, we're making the Voltron that we remember, not the Voltron that we saw necessarily. So you have these really strong nostalgic memories of watching shows like Voltron growing up, and your mind kind of fills in the gaps, and you build up these characters and see something that might not have been there.
Right.
And, you know, I think the characters you remember had a whole lot more depth than in actuality. But with this new show, like, the depth that they've built into these characters is incredible. The humor is great. It's funny. There's several levels of humor. There's like that anime, like, almost campy humor.
Uh-huh.
That's like it's campy for the sake of being campy, and you laugh at it, and it's just a reminder that this is a cartoon after all and we're here to have fun. And then there's like a deeper, you know, character driven humor that's just brilliant. Yeah, the writing is just so spot on. And the acting is exceptional as well. I mean, you saw, you know, at the panel, some of our actors, or, I mean, Rhys Darby, like that guy, if you hear him in the booth, he's so exceptionally talented. And just hearing him speak, like, he will put you in stitches. He's got this ridiculous range of, you know, where he can take his voice. And what's his name? The guy who, trying to think of the voice actor.
Tyler Labine.
Tyler Labine, yeah, he is so funny. I mean, they're all true professionals. They're all great, but they have this interaction with each other that I think comes out in the show. I mean, you can kind of hear the camaraderie of the actors in the booth in the show, and they really develop this rapport together.
Yeah, I got a taste of that when I was interviewing Jeremy Shada, and Tyler Labine walked up and flipped him the bird while he was getting interviewed. So
there you go. Only good friends can flip each other the bird right while they're giving interviews, you know?
And get away with it.
My wife's doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the subject of Tyler Labine, I think from what I've heard, the voice cast sounds phenomenal all the way around. But Tyler, I was commenting to Mark and our WonderCon episodes that his voice, if his natural voice is what he delivers as Hunk, then he sounds a lot like Lenny Weinrib's original Hunk voice would have been if Lenny didn't have to alter his voice. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, they talk about, yeah.
I heard you saying that, yeah.
Huh, yeah, Hunk, I mean,
he's a bro, you know.
Yes.
Like he's a bro that you just want to hang out with, and yeah. And that's kind of his character on the show. And you know, in the original, he was kind of a meathead, you know. He's like,
yeah,
quick tempered, a little bit, you know, quick to anger. But the new one is, yeah, he's a bro, and there's just a lot of great humor that comes from Tyler and what he's done with Hunk. So great kind of situational levity that these guys bring to the show. Moving on from the humor aspect, which I love, this show has some of the best action you will see in animation. I mean, it's truly, truly phenomenal. I mean, Joaquin Dos Santos is kind of known for his action set pieces, and I can't even explain it, but the camera angles that he uses and, you know, his kind of selective use of slow-mo and, you know, heroic shots that he's able to, you know, put on the screen they're just breathtaking. They really are. So it's got it all. It's got the humor. It's got the action. It's truly fun show to watch.
So what was your sense that you got from having the fans see some of those clips that we saw at the WonderCon panel and getting reactions from real people about the show?
I loved it. I mean, you never know how people are going to react. With what DreamWorks has created, like, it was almost impossible to envision a scenario where people hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I couldn't have anticipated is having a room that large, packed that full of Voltron fans. You know, we've never done WonderCon before. It was a new show for Voltron, and so I wasn't sure kind of what the support would be there, because, you know, there's a lot of other properties that have had a lot more going on of late.
Sure,
and
sure.
So, you know, to get a room like that full of fans of Voltron was just, you know, it was kind of humbling. And, you know, hearing the applause line that they gave after that, you know, they showed the formation sequence, it was like, my God. So, yeah, it was chills, you know, hearing a room applause like that. It was really a cool thing.
It's got to be one thing to work as hard as you and Tiffany and the other folks at WEP, and of course the folks at DreamWorks. You know, it's one thing to actually work behind the scenes and make something happen, but you're really kind of working in a vacuum. And, you know, to actually get a reaction from your audience, your future audience, has got to be exciting.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's you never know until you actually put it in front of people. And
yeah.
And you know, by the way, Greg, like, I can't take credit for any, I mean, it's all DreamWorks. It's Joaquin and Lauren, and this is their creation. And I'm just as a diehard fan of Voltron, it made me so happy that fellow fans, you know, loved it. So all credit goes to DreamWorks on that.
Let's go back to what was the first time that you got an actual look at what this show was going to look like? Was it at the licensing expo or was it somewhere else?
We saw initial artwork on DreamWorks campus. I don't remember exactly when it was, but when they kind of gave us their initial pitch on what the show would be, they just showed us the key characters and the lions. And yeah, I mean, it was actually just me and my father at the time, and we were both just, you know, we were amazed. I very pleased. Yeah, I think my father liked to see kind of the more the original look of the characters coming back, and I did as well. So you never know. It's like what are they going to unveil here? Is it going to be like Shrek-tron? Are they going to do like, you know, these big because I wasn't sure what direction they were going to take with it. You know, I knew it would be great, but it was just kind of like of course, like that is the direction that the show needs to go. And you know, there was no having to sell us on it. Once they unveiled, it was like, yep.
Was it that it was just really good timing that they got the whole group that was coming off The Legend of Korra finishing up that series, and now they're ready to do something else? And fans of Korra obviously were thinking Korra 2.0, you know, what's the next version of Korra we're going to get? But, you know, now they're going to get Voltron. And was it just good timing, or was it something that DreamWorks really pushed for?
I think it's just one of those happy, happy coincidences or scenarios where the timing lined up and that those guys were available. I mean, to me, they are... you know, the IT folks in animation. And I didn't specifically say, hey, I want the team from Avatar or Korra to work on this. But it's funny, you know, I was a big fan of the show, and I've kind of, I had been watching it and just marveling at how great of a job they did with like the art direction and how they were able to take this genre of anime, have kind of an anime inspired show. It's not technically anime, but it's like it's anime inspired. It takes like all the great things that are anime, but marries it with this beautiful fluid animation that it's kind of like a best of both worlds show coupled with this, you know, very deep kind of mythology with, you know, a serialized like writing where you could really follow these adventures and have, you know, storylines that build on one another. It was just something that I'd be like, God, that would be awesome if we could do something like that with Voltron. And what do you know, next.
The timing, gosh, it had to have been phenomenal. I mean, just, you know, creative teams for television series break up so quickly after a show ends, and to be able to hook so much of the creative talent behind Korra and Avatar to this show is you know, almost a freak of nature to get all those folks together again so quickly. So that's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a great team.
So Bob, you've got to feel pretty good as the owner of the Voltron property to be able to have the best animation team out there, the best studio, the best voice director in Andrea Romano, and the best voice actors. I mean, combining together, this is like, wow.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. And you know me, Mark, I demand the best. it's a real fortunate scenario where I'm very happy. And, you know, it's a different scenario than Voltron Force. It's like, you know, you're kind of watching this happen, and I'm not obviously creatively involved like I was with previous show, and to have it in the hands of people who are so competent and so at the top of their game is just a true blessing. It's been great to watch.
And we're right here in the thick of it, you know, trying to connect with the fans and having the fans get as much access to this as they can, you know, so we're going to be trying to get as many interviews and from the people that made the show, from the people that are, you know, involved in the show and everything like that. If there's any time that you can you know lead us in the direction of somebody that might might be able to help us out there, that would be great. But we do have some connections.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but right now we've been getting a whole lot of maybe somewhere down the line. But what we'd really like, obviously, is to be able to you know give as much information to the fans as we can without spoiling the show, obviously. But at the same time, being able to show everybody, you know, this is going to be something that's really great. And then after it comes out, to be able to talk about it on the podcast, and then be able to actually talk to some of the people that actually made it would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that DreamWorks, like a lot of large studios, tends to be, you know, tight-lipped and close fist with a lot of the their creative, and I they've kept a lot of this under wraps, and it's been driving me crazy because I've just been wanting to like tell everybody about how awesome this is, but you know I can understand why now. They want it to be polished and clean and have it nailed down before releasing to the public. And then you know when you can have a moment like at WonderCon when you say here it is and you see the fans' reaction, you're just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, that's why. That's why they didn't, you know, leak out clips here and there and leak out artwork. It has, I think, a lot more impact when you can kind of hold it back a little bit. But it's out there, and I think the next big drop will be on Netflix and on June 10th, and then you can sit and binge and watch all 13 at a time. So. I know I will.
Do you expect that we're going to actually get to see a bigger trailer before June 10th and maybe even something of what we saw at WonderCon that everybody hasn't gotten to see yet?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know there are going to be other opportunities that they're looking at to promote the show and that they might be putting together some more marketing material. So I think it's possible, but honestly, I don't have the answer for you. I hope we can.
If it follows the same formula, we've already got a teaser trailer.
Uh-huh.
So then we would expect a more full trailer to come out even before the drop on June 10th. So that's kind of what we're looking for here.
Well, as usual, Mark, you are several steps ahead of me. So I think it's very possible, but I don't know at this point if and when they're going to be putting out a longer form trailer.
Well, whatever happens, we know what's going to happen June 10th, and I, for one, am thrilled. So,
amen, brother.
Right. Right. And how did it feel to you, Bob, to hear when, you know, you knew it was going to be on Netflix, but even Netflix hadn't announced yet that they were going to be going worldwide?
Yeah. That's true. It's like a worldwide, you know, deal now almost. And, you know, everything's kind of, they still do all their deals territory by territory, but to have the opportunity to be on Netflix in, you know, the 60 or however many some odd countries are in now, is great. I mean, it's truly changed media. I mean, to be able to launch a show in that many territories with the same partner is, I think, something that was unheard of even, you know, a few years ago. So, yeah, I mean, Voltron has a global audience, and we definitely want to be in front of people wherever they are, whether it be Philippines or Australia or the UK. We want to give fans what they want. And it's, you know, it's much as the way content travels nowadays, it's hard to window things to where it's like, well, you know, it's open, it's released in the US, but it's not going to release for another 18 months in another territory. It's because stuff just leaks. And so, right. You know, the more territories you can get out in front of, the better. You know, we want to make our international fans happy as well. So Netflix subscribers around the world, rejoice.
Yeah. Do you know if there's any show out there that would be considered competition to this one?
Every kid show imaginable.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge one.
Every show imaginable. I don't know. Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yeah, it's very competitive. This age group, there's a lot of content out there, and you know, between Transformers and Power Rangers and, you know, like we mentioned, Turtles. I mean, there's just all of those are kind of among the properties that are vying for kids' eyeballs. And, right. And I mentioned kids. I mean, obviously we want this. I think, you know, the 30 somethings fans are going to love this show and there's something in it really for everybody, but you know, to have the longevity that a property needs, you need to get kids and you need to keep refreshing your audience and gather new audience. And I think this show has all the makings to do that. And it's truly, truly a creative driven show. It's artful. It's, you know, it's funny, it's engaging. And, you know, this isn't a show that's made to go sell toys. You know, and right. I'm not calling out any property in particular. I'm just saying, you know, there are those that just like, you know, let's get something on there so we can sell merchandise. This show is artful, and the creators behind it have so much passion, and it tells a compelling story, and it's got deep and rich characters, and it could stand on its own anywhere. So, you know, I think whether you're a fan of the original show, whether you're young or old, this will pull you in. And it's like I said, truly got something for everybody. And, you know, I just hope that a lot of people discover it, because it's really an achievement.
Greg, did you have any other questions for Bob before I move on to the fan questions?
No, I actually do have one fan question that I found on the legacy Voltron.com forums. I know that our fans have been sort of encouraged to pursue the Voltron Reddit site. But I did see a question just today from Grant B. on the Voltron forums, and he was asking about the new comic series. He was curious because Lion Forge is making this new miniseries for Voltron Legendary Defender. Is Dynamite still involved with Voltron Comics at this point? Do they have a license for non-Legendary Defender stories, or do you have any insight into that, Bob?
I believe they're coming to the end of their term, but okay. I can't really comment further.
Okay.
Well, we had just seen Voltron from the Ashes, which was a pretty good series, and the trade paperback is out there available now on Voltron.com, in fact.
Yep. Yeah, check it out. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, what we did was we let, you know, the fans know that's, you know, somebody from WEP would be joining us. I didn't say it was you, Bob, but I just wanted to have them be able to ask questions of, you know, the property owner of Voltron and see what their thoughts were, you know, and see if maybe you know some of these answers. You might not know this, and you might have to defer it to DreamWorks.
I don't have an answer on the feature film.
Actually, that was not even asked. Can you believe that?
No, I can't believe that.
We must be wearing them down to the point where they understand we're not going to be able to answer any questions about the film.
I'm going to say this about a feature film, and I'll leave it at that, that having a new series with this much visibility has got to be nothing but a win for a possible future movie if something should ever materialize. I mean, it's one thing to have this awesome, long-standing property and, hey, let's make a movie. It's quite another to have a long-standing property that is new and fresh and relevant and popular again and then say, let's make a movie. So I think that Voltron may be in a much better position for a possible movie now than at any point in the last, certainly in the last 20 years. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Well said.
So I'll start it with Teresa Matthews from Twitter. She said, "We know June 10th we will get all the episodes of Voltron released at once, the 13 episodes. How many episodes has DreamWorks committed to making?"
Well, you know you're going to get 13. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
No fewer than 13.
Yeah, we know that. Okay. The Voltron Keith and Allura fan shippers, they said, "Of all the Voltron characters, Allura, an iconic female character, why was her change the most different, drastic, or radical from the other characters?"
You'd have to ask the creators that, but okay. I think from what I've gathered, you know, they made the point that she's from Eris, or in this new show, it's actually Altia, but she's an alien. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was an alien in the original show.
Right.
And, the show never really explored that. I mean, she was always just a human and, you know, kind of a, you know, just a regular, not a regular girl. She was a princess and all, but she, you know, she was a tough-minded individual, or so she became, but, you know, she never strayed from her humanoid kind of form. And I think they wanted to make her look a little bit more exotic and drive home the point that she's, you know, she's of another planet, and that's all.
Okay. All right. So, Lorraine Yen, from Twitter had also asked, what were you looking for in an animation and writing team to bring Voltron? And was it similar to DreamWorks' choice of team? So what I'm guessing is that what we already talked about was that you've already got the best team that you could have possibly wished for, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, what I wanted from a writing team is somebody who would take the property seriously, who knew the roots of the property, who would take the time to watch Voltron and Go Lion. And as you kind of see, they blend the two a little bit. I'm digressing here, but, you know, for example, it's not Planet Doom, it's Galra. And that was the name of it in Go Lion. And I think they just made the choice that, well, you know, that's, the Doom might be sound a little hokey or whatever in 2016. And so they went with the Go Lion name, and in so doing kind of, you know, stayed within the roots of Voltron. And, you know, so they've kind of strayed close to the source material. What are we looking for? What was I looking for in a writer? I think somebody who would, honor Voltron as it was, and, but not be afraid to add to the mythology and to go different directions and to have deeper characters who evolve throughout the show. You know, just knowing that you've got a more mature audience watching this as well as kids. And that's a tough, tough thing to do, to have something that is, you know, on one level, complicated enough to keep adults interested, but simple enough to where kids are going to follow. And it really takes a brilliant writer to do that. You know, it's almost much easier for the writing to be more complicated.
Sure.
But you lose kids that way. So the ability to tell, you know, stories that draw you in, but tell it to in a way that's simple enough for a kid to follow, but has enough in it for an adult to come back, and that's a hard balance. And, you know, I thought Tim Hedrick did a masterful job doing that.
Yeah, I've been rewatching some of the Lion Force Voltron episodes and their Go Lion counterparts just for grins, and yeah. and as I've been watching them, I've been thinking, wow, if you know, there's some really good stuff that's in the Voltron adaptation. There's some really good stuff in Go Lion. I can imagine a best of both worlds series really being something, and that sounds like that's what this new show is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Cubby Berry from Australia. Would there be Voltron fangirl apparel via Her Universe available with this new show?
Oh, Cubby Berry, I love you. there's, yeah, we're gonna get some female apparel out. I don't know about in connection to the show or who's gonna do it or where. I know Her Universe we've talked about. I'm not sure honestly what the latest is on conversations with them. I'd love to get Her Universe. You know, apparel on that site. Mark, you actually introduced me to Her Universe.
And, yes. Ashley Eckstein.
Ashley Eckstein, wife of former Cardinal David Eckstein. So
that's right. There's a St. Louis connection.
Natural connection there. hey, I'm all for it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm all for it.
Okay. Kitty Lynn asked, what did or do you like best about having licensed Voltron to DreamWorks, and how much effort was put in to make it happen? I mean, obviously, no, we know it automatically happened as a result of the acquisition of Classic Media. But in bringing, you know, DreamWorks into the Voltron fold, how did that transition go?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily automatic. With the acquisition of Classic Media by DreamWorks, it kind of threw us in limbo a little bit, because Classic Media had, you know, a number of rights. We still needed to do a deal with DreamWorks, so it was kind of a natural that it was DreamWorks after that. before that acquisition, or even right afterwards, I had no idea what the fit would be of Voltron with DreamWorks and whether they would want to do anything with it. And so, you know, we would have had to figure out kind of an alternative solution there. But it was just, you know, it was almost like it was meant to be, where in this, shortly after the acquisition, they expressed their love of the franchise and interest in doing something with it, which, you know, really, really pleased us and frankly made our lives a lot easier.
Okay. Well, that leads right into Cryoflight's question. What is WEP's role in the process exactly, and how much creative control do you keep?
DreamWorks knows what they're doing, and they've put a brilliant team on this. And, you know, they're not having to answer to us on every creative turn that they take. And I think we all kind of sat in a room and reached an understanding of where we wanted the show to go, and they told us their creative pitch. We had a few comments on it. Some of them they took, some of them they didn't, and, you know, and that's fine. And we're all kind of aligned on the direction. So it's a happy partnership. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Chitoy asks, would you be able to share what was seen at WonderCon so that we can see it maybe 30 days before it going live?
Question for them, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their material, and that would be nice, but I'm sure they've got a plan for it.
We're switching over to Facebook. There's some Facebook questions over here. And Mark Oliver started us off with, will the original theme song make its way into the new series at all?
Oh, Mark. Yeah, you know, that's one thing we talked about. I have a great affinity for the original theme song. As you saw, we kept it through previous iterations of the show. I think you hear it, and there's a recognition there. It's kind of, you know, distinctively Voltron. So we'll see. I mean, we've given those comments, and I think the producers of the show kind of heard from fans. They heard from us. We'll see.
We all know those musical bars, right? All right. So
right.
I can share with you something that I heard when I was watching the show Smallville. Christopher Reeve was doing a guest spot on Smallville. And at one point, while he was on the screen, you heard the original, you know, Superman theme song.
Right.
Just like a few bars of it, you know, just in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was enough to get me excited as a fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know?
You hear dun, so, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So, you know,
exactly.
Exactly. It becomes like synonymous with the property. So.
And that just got me giddy watching the show, and if we could see something, at least something like that, that would really get us going. You know what I mean?
I think the show itself is going to get me going. Whatever they do with the music is an added bonus, but the show itself has got me interested.
Yeah. And Stacy Thomas said, can it be June 10th already? Can it just be June 10th already?
Seriously. It's getting closer. I mean, at one time it seemed like eternity, but it'll be upon us before we know it.
All right. Ryan Denning asks, does DreamWorks have the rights to the vehicle team as well? If not, have there been any potential buyers? He says, I love the Lion Force, but Die Rugger should live again too.
Yes, they do have the rights to vehicle, and that's all I can say right now.
All right, Celia McWilliams-Holmes says, why did they get rid of the cross and crown design on the insignia?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was actually one of the questions they asked me, you know, when I mentioned they bombarded me with questions about the franchise, and they're like, you know, what's the symbolism behind his crest? And there's kind of a bunch of theories that it was inspired by the Knights of Templar was one theory, and I mean, it's kind of a lot of cool origins, possibilities behind that. As you said, we nixed the cross in Voltron Force. Just the decision we made, I think we didn't want any like religious undertones, you know, but you know, the reason they did it, I think they just wanted to freshen it up a little and maybe make it a little more non-denominational. I don't know if that was the reasoning or not, but when I first saw the crest, I thought, yeah, that's cool. Now that I've kind of become a little more familiar with it, it is an awesome design. It really is. I mean, it's a cool kind of V pattern that I think is I think it'll be kind of a memorable symbol that's been added to the Voltron kind of universe here. And, you know, I think pretty soon you'll forget about the old crest altogether because you'll see the symbol so many places. But it's a very cool design. It really is.
Mark was actually kind enough to pick up a couple of those WonderCon exclusive shirts when he visited there. So thank you again, Mark. But one of them has the Voltron, the new logo on it. And as I looked at it, beyond thinking, wow, I have new shirts, the actual logo looks, if you squint a little bit, it has an abstract lion face look to it. If you look at the V and the different colored elements around it, it has an abstract sort of a front view of a lion face on it, which is really slick. So I dig it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the more you see it, the more it kind of grows on you.
Yeah. So.
I can see Voltron taking that off of his chest and use it as a boomerang.
Who knows?
You know that there's a lot of Keith and Allura fans out there, right?
So I've heard. Yeah.
Are they still going to be able to have a Keith and a Laura, or are they going to have to look forward to other relationships that might happen in the show?
Keith and Allura are both in the show.
They will relate as characters.
they will relate as characters. There's a very interesting dynamic that goes on among all the characters, but between those two, I'll just leave it at that. And I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Okay. That's the end of the fan questions. And one thing that I wanted to really just solidify before we let you go, Bob, this show was really a long time coming, all right? We've been waiting for it for, what, 2.5 to 3 years? Is that about right?
Well, I mean, how far do you want to go back?
Well, I mean,
I want to say since 2011.
I remember interviewing you and having you tell me what the DreamWorks employees' response was when they heard that they had acquired the rights to Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were just excited more than any of the other things that they had acquired.
Yeah, that's kind of the story that everybody would tell me at DreamWorks, and I know to be true. And, you know, it's a really cool thing that, you know, it's such a highly regarded company and group of creative individuals were thought that highly of the property. So I knew we were in good hands.
And now here we are. How many days left, Greg?
50 something. 50 something. I don't have that number in front of me.
All right. So now we're on, you know, 50 something days left, and the fans are finally going to get to see a new Voltron. And how is it that you would want, you know, this whole thing to be presented to the fans? Is it exactly the way you had envisioned, you know, with it going out worldwide on Netflix and them getting to see all these 13 episodes at once?
Sure. I mean, it's great. It would have been hard to envision, to be honest, because binge viewing and Netflix is so new. But this is where, you know, viewership is going, and this is where kids are discovering new content and people are discovering new content. And what better platform to launch on than Netflix? I mean, it used to be like Netflix was, oh, of course we're going to be on that. I mean, this is how it was with Voltron Force. It's like, yeah, we'll be on Netflix, but, you know, we'll have our first run on TV.
Right.
Now right. It's Netflix is where it's at. And, Am I happy with where we are? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's tremendous, and you know, happy as can be to have Netflix as a partner and obviously DreamWorks, and it'd be really cool. And the international piece, as you mentioned, Mark, is kind of a whole new thing that I wasn't even contemplating, you know, a while back. So
yeah, I mean, you're going to have some serious things to think about if this goes worldwide, which it is, and it gets really, really popular. How are you going to be able to make sure that you reach all those fans all the way around the world?
Is that a loaded question there, Mark?
I mean, if you only had like, I don't know, a podcast or something that people around the world could listen to or something like that.
Is that the answer? Do more Let's Voltron podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody that can connect with the fans better than Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. Can you, Greg?
Oh, certainly not.
Hey, man, anyway. I agree. And, you know, love it. Love geeking out with you guys. Love, you know, hearing from the fans and, you know, because I'm a fan like you guys. And, you know, I've kind of just love hearing your guys' thoughts on the property and, you know, I can't wait to get your take on the show. I really can't.
Well, we will definitely be doing episode reviews. So Greg and I will be getting together after this whole thing, you know, breaks. Obviously, we're going to have to binge watch it because the fans themselves are going to have questions. Yeah. And they're going to want somebody to talk to about it.
Yep.
So, of course, we'll be available on social media after it breaks on June 10th. And we will also be reviewing each individual episode as a full podcast episode. So each of those things will come through as well. Obviously, we'll have to wait a little bit after the June 10th date before we go through full reviews of each episode because we want to give people the proper time to be able to watch these things right. before we spoil it for them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what would be the proper amount of time to wait after June 10th before we start reviewing an episode?
No, it's funny, you know. as long as you put a spoiler alert somewhere, you know,
right.
Go nuts. Because I know, because like, are you going to review one at a time or are you just review the whole thing at once?
No, we'll probably just review our overall reaction to the whole drop of 13 episodes. But yeah. We won't go into deeper detail on that until we actually review each episode by itself.
Gotcha.
My gut thought is probably a couple weeks. At 13 episodes, although the most diehard of us will certainly be binge watching it, it'd be nice to give at least one calendar day per episode for folks who are slightly less diehard. But that's just me.
Well, I was thinking maybe we start at the beginning of July and we say, okay, all right, at the beginning of July, we're going to do episode one and we do one a week.
How does that sound? That sounds awesome. What do you think, Bob?
Works for me.
Oh, the official countdown, by the way, we are recording Tuesday, April 26, 2016. There are 45 days left until June 10th. So,
wow.
Time's flying.
It's even closer than we thought.
I know.
45 days, month and a half.
One thing we had suggested to the fans when it was at, what it was, about 57 days left?
Uh-huh.
I had suggested that everybody go back to the beginning of the podcast, to the very first episode of the podcast, and each day listen to one episode of the podcast all the way up until the last podcast we did. And that would get them right to June 10th.
There you go.
All right.
Something to hold you over.
Time flies when you're having fun listening to Let's Voltron.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
So, Bob, I want to thank you for joining us again on the podcast, and it's been wonderful catching up with you. I wish I could have caught up with you more at WonderCon.
Yeah, me too. I know it was hectic as can be, and I was kind of herding cats, but, it was good to see you as brief as it was, and... I'm really glad that you came out and got some interviews with the voice cast. It was good having you there.
It's been a thrill for me, actually, too. You know, I've had the good fortune of communicating with Tiffany Ilardi in the past and Jeremy Corey and other individuals who've been related to the property in some way. But to finally chat with you, Bob, has been a real treat. So thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Greg. And thanks for all you've done for the property and for contributing to the podcast. It's been fun listening to you guys.
Thanks.
All right. So we're going to close this out the way we usually do. So I just want to say thank you, everyone, to listening to Let's Voltron. And we'll see you next time on
Let's Voltron.